Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, reports are rolling in on who the Raiders will target in free agency as far as quarterbacks go. Plus, we'll tell you the ugly truth about the non-exclusive franchise tag. We'll talk about building a team through free agency and the NFL draft. Plus, your calls and texts will close out the show. It's all coming up on a really busy Thursday, March 9th, 2023.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Just Raiders. Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team Just every win. Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raider Podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raider Podcast free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Thanks to my man Ari, making sure we're up on YouTube each and every day, looking really good, and we definitely appreciate him for that. You can check out Ari on Twitter, at Ari Produces. Today's edition of the Locked On Raider Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOnToday to get started. Speaking of get started, let's go ahead and do that coming up next week. Of course, free agency opens up on the 15th. The tampering period begins on Monday. That is the legal tampering period, which is 2 days. Teams can negotiate with free agents, potential free agents. They can work out a contract. They can get everything squared away. They just can't seal the deal and actually sign, put the paper to pen. But they can do that starting on the 15th. So you're going to hear a lot of reports next week coming out about what free agent plans on going where, who they're signing with, how they're going to make that team that much better. It's going to be a crazy busy week. At least the first couple days of free agency is always crazy busy. So on 13th and 14th, you have the 2 days of tampering period open up. And then, of course, the 15th is when the new league year starts, and that's when everything becomes legal. Then it's the Wild Wild West, and you can do whatever you want as far as signing free agents, making trades, getting all the team together, all your plans in place to make everything happen. So next week, what are the Raiders plan on doing as far as a veteran quarterback? Well, the reports are already starting to roll out. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network says the Panthers, Texans, and Raiders are likely to have interest in Jimmy Garoppolo. All three are in search of a starting quarterback, and all three have a top 10 pick. Garoppolo could end up being a bridge quarterback rather than a long-term answer somewhere, like I'm sure he wants to. And that's the first thing, man. I bet you Jimmy G doesn't want to be the guy that is just the bridge, the masking tape until they're ready to go ahead and pass the sticks on to a young guy like he's already been when he was in San Francisco. Now, in San Francisco, for a minute, he was the guy, right? And then injuries started to show that, yeah, this guy can't stay healthy. They've got to do something. They've got to take it to the next level. They did that. They went out and made the move for Trey Lance, but obviously that hasn't worked out because, well, he hasn't been available. And then Brock Purdy, he took over the reins, and, well, now he's not available. But Jimmy G is going to be a guy that I do believe many teams are going to be interested in. Ian Rappaport mentioned the Texans and the Panthers. The Texans have the familiarity with D'Amico Ryans. Obviously, he was just in San Francisco. I would even throw the Jets in there just in case, even though they're putting that full court press on with Aaron Rodgers, just in case they don't get him, they have a lot of familiarity with Jimmy G as well. So I believe that his price is actually going to go up a little bit more than most people believe. But Ian Rappaport talks about the Panthers, Texans, and Raiders all have an interest in Jimmy G coming up next week. Of course, the Raiders, it's easy to tie the Raiders and Jimmy G together with the familiarity with the New England Patriots. The Panthers, they got Frank Wright there. They need a quarterback. Don't think it's going to be, well, I don't know. There's not too many to choose from, right, that are out there. Think about this. Carson Wentz, Jacoby Brissett, Baker Mayfield, Andy Dalton, Sam Darnold, Marcus Mariota, maybe Tom Brady if you could pull him out of retirement, but most likely not. And then Jimmy G. There's not a whole lot of quarterbacks to choose from. Like the different flavors of Kool-Aid ain't really out there. There's nothing that's that appealing as far as I'm concerned. Carson Wentz, no thanks. Jacoby Brissett, nah, I'm good. Baker Mayfield, I might be able to make an argument for him. Sam Darnold, hell no. Marcus Mariota, been there, done that. Like I mentioned, Tom Brady, don't think he's coming out of retirement. And then there's Jimmy G. There's not a whole lot to choose from. Again, nothing too sexy to pick from. So I don't know what direction the Raiders plan on going. I do think we'll have a good idea what they plan on doing with the veteran quarterback position. I mean, they could make a trade for Lamar like I talked about on Wednesday's show, but that's highly unlikely. And why is that highly unlikely? Well, Adam Schefter put out a tweet that's very, it kind of just lets it be known what exactly the truth is behind the non-exclusive franchise tag. Of course, that's the tag that Lamar Jackson got hit with the Baltimore Ravens. And I said it on my radio show. I said it on the podcast. I think it was smart for Baltimore to do that, to allow the rest of the league to kind of set the market for Lamar Jackson, kind of give him a dose of reality. Like, okay, I know what you want, But this is what you're really going to get. This is what the rest of the league is willing to give you. Now, a lot of teams have already come out apparently and said that they're not willing to go there with Lamar Jackson, which I think is kind of strange. 26-year-old, former league MVP, dynamic player. Does he have some injury history? Sure. But he's a hell of a player. He's a superstar, as a matter of fact. And you take chances with superstars. If teams are willing to take chances with Jimmy G, why wouldn't you take a chance with Lamar Jackson? I know I would. But the harsh reality of it is, as Adam Schefter pointed out, in the 30 years of NFL free agency, Shawn Gilbert is the only player to receive the non-exclusive franchise tag, sign an offer sheet with another team, and then end up with that new team. In 1998, Gilbert was franchise tagged by Washington, signed an offer sheet with the Panthers, and ended up with Carolina. Only one time in 30 years. So one of the reports have been floating around, at least on Twitter, about, you know, why teams aren't interested in Lamar Jackson or even wanting to go there with Lamar Jackson is because other teams in the league don't want to do all the heavy lifting. They don't want to do the contracts. They don't want to go ahead and work a deal up and say, hey, this is how we can make it work, something that's real, you know, acceptable to Lamar Jackson. He has to take it back to Baltimore. It's not like he can just say, no, okay, I'm not going to play in Baltimore. I'm going to take your offer. He has to take it to Baltimore. They have the right to refusal. And so any offer he gets from anyone, no matter how outlandish it is or how little it might be, he has to take back to Baltimore. So they have the right to refusal. They can match it at any point. And so a lot of teams don't want to do that. And as Adam Schefter pointed out, in 30 years, only one time has it happened where a player signed an offer sheet and that new team actually got the player. So that's one reason not to really get too excited about thinking Lamar Jackson is going to be leaving Baltimore. I don't think he's going to leave Baltimore. I think it makes all the sense for him to go back, and I think it makes all the sense for them to have him back. But, of course, they've got to work that out. But I thought that was an interesting little nugget that Adam Schefter passed along on Twitter on Wednesday. How about this from Rich Gannon from 33rdteam.com, of course, a former league MVP with the Silver and Black. And last time I got a chance to talk to him was at the Super Bowl in Phoenix. Really good catching up with him. He does work with the 33rd team. And it's funny, they actually sent me this message by way of direct message on Twitter. Four ways to fix the Raiders listed by Rich Gannon. And they sent it to me. And they said, wanted to pass this along to you from Rich Gannon. And I thought, okay, cool. So I said, hey, can Rich come on the radio show or come on the podcast and talk about it in the next couple of days? Ghosted me. They didn't, no kind of response. That doesn't mean that they won't respond, but I didn't get any response. But anyway, here's the four ways to fix the Raiders, according to Rich Gannon. And you might have seen this floating around Twitter already. They put it out there on their Twitter account. I've seen plenty of Raider Nation reacting to it. First of all, his idea, sign Jimmy G and draft a quarterback on day two. Not day one, on day two. I don't know if that's a Hendon Hooker. I don't know if that's a Jake Haener. I don't know if that's a, I don't know. I don't know who he would want the Raiders to grab on day two, but it doesn't sound like, you know, obviously it's any of the big, even five quarterbacks, because I don't think Hendon Hooker will be there on day two. I think he's going to end up being a first-round draft pick. So that was option number one for Rich Gannon. Sign Jimmy G and draft a quarterback on day two. Two, build up the offensive line. So I think the right tackle is obviously an area that needs to be built, or not to be built, but needs to be addressed. It's been a turnstile for a very long time. Jermaine Illuminor did a good job for what he could do, right? Thayer Munford came in at times and did a good job. I mean, it's just been a rotating door. There's been a lot of different bodies that have held down that right tackle position. So I do agree that the offensive line needs to be addressed, maybe even a guard position if they decide to move on from Andre James and put Dylan Parham at the center position. The offensive line, even though it put out the number one rusher in the league in Josh Jacobs, still needs to be addressed, needs a little bit of work. Number three from Rich Gannon, four ways to fix the Raiders. Get another pass rusher with Max Crosby. That is a no-brainer. No doubt about it. The defensive line needs to be addressed. I don't know what Chandler Jones is going to do in 2023. I do believe he'll be with the team in 2023, but they really need to get a guy that could be a bona fide bookend to Max Crosby and really be able to get after the quarterback. Defensive tackle is obviously an area of need as well, but to get a real deal certified edge rusher that can, you know, complement Max Crosby would be huge. So that's number three on the four ways to fix the Raiders, according to Rich Gannon on 33rdteam.com. And the fourth way, add more playmakers to the secondary. Does that not sound like something I've been talking about for the longest? How long have I said that the Raiders need to have playmakers in the secondary? They have not had a playmaker in a very long time. I keep going back to Reggie Nelson, and as frustrating as that guy was, he came up with interceptions. You know, he had what? When he led the team in interceptions, he had eight. He probably got burned about 15 times that season, but he did have 8 interceptions, right? What was that 2016 when the Raiders went to the playoffs? Khalil Mack was defensive player of the year. A lot of it had to do with the Raiders' defense was able to come up with a bunch of turnovers, and Reggie Nelson helped in a major way. They haven't really had a ball hawk since Reggie Nelson. And I know they have guys like a Jerron Harmon that can come up with some plays. I know Amik Robertson came up with some plays last season, but not enough. They don't have enough guys to get their hands on the ball or knock the ball out, create plays. So those are the 4 ways, according to Rich Gannon, that the Raiders can be fixed. 4 ways to fix the Raiders. 33rdteam.com is where you can check it out. 1, sign Jimmy G and draft a quarterback on day 2. 2, build up the offensive line. 3, get another pass rusher with Crosby. And 4, add more playmakers to the secondary. So what are my thoughts? What do I think that has to happen this offseason? How do you build this Raiders roster? Something I talked about on my radio show, Unnecessary Roughness, on Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness on Wednesday. Well, we'll talk about it coming up in segment number 2 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast after I tell you about the title sponsor of the show, which is FanDuel. And there's only about a handful of regular season games left when it comes to the NBA, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel. It's America's number one sportsbook. New customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you got to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and it's super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to points scored, threes that are hitting the game, whatever it is you want, they've got you covered. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. Don't miss a chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn about more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number 2 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to talk about how to build this team, this Raiders roster, in the offseason to make it a whole lot more competitive. You've got to have a nice balance of free agency and the draft. And really, you need to lean a little heavier in the draft, as far as I'm concerned, than you even do in free agency. Free agency, we all know what it is. It's fool's gold. Sometimes you get a really good player to come to the mix and add them to the team, and all of a sudden they're a good player. And sometimes you get a dud. Sometimes you get a Chandler Jones 4.5 sack performance, right? And give up a whole lot of money. And sometimes you get a really good player. You know, like Donald Penn was, remember, he was a free agent. He worked out okay. All right, matter of fact, he worked out really good. Remember Kelechi Osemele, for what he was worth? He was a really nice addition to the Raiders offensive line by way of free agency as well. Some guys work out, some guys don't. Like Trent Brown, he was good when he was on the field, just wasn't on the field enough for the Raiders. So that didn't work out in free agency. Corey Littleton didn't work out in free agency. A lot of guys you can go back to and say, yeah, that didn't work out in free agency. LaMarcus Joyner is another guy. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. There's more misses than there are hits when it comes to free agency. But with that being said, the Raiders have about $40 million in salary cap space as it sits right now. And, of course, free agency opens up next week. So how do I think they should go about building the roster through free agency and the draft? Again, trying not to build it through free agency. So we'll start, though, with free agency because that comes first. That'll be next week with the tampering period beginning on Monday. First of all, you got to sign a veteran quarterback. We went through it in segment number 1. There's not a whole lot of veteran quarterbacks to get excited about. You either sign a veteran quarterback or you trade for Lamar. The latter is probably not going to happen. So you got to sign a veteran quarterback, whoever you feel comfortable with. I also believe you have to make sure you sign Jarrett Stidham. That is probably even a bigger priority than signing a veteran quarterback. You have to sign Jarrett Stidham. He's the one guy that knows the roster, or not the roster, but he knows the scheme. He knows Josh McDaniels, what Josh McDaniels wants. He's familiar with the players. He's been with Josh the whole time he's been in the league, and he's been with the Raiders since the last training camp, right? The Raiders traded for him. I think it's a priority to sign Jarrett Stidham. Also, free agency, sign Josh Jacobs. He's the non-exclusive franchise tag holder. I told you about the harsh reality of the non-exclusive franchise tag. Teams could sign a guy to an offer sheet. 99.9% of the time, that player stays on the team that hit him with the exclusive or the non-exclusive franchise tag. So that could apply to Josh Jacobs as well. But I believe that it should be a priority for the Raiders to make sure that they go ahead and re-sign Josh Jacobs. He was the heartbeat of the team. He was the soul of the team in 2022. I know Devontae did some great things, put up some huge numbers, but Josh Jacobs was the engine that could. Right, he was making sure that he was getting it done. All 17 games he played, led the league in rushing. He did a hell of a job. He needs to be re-signed, no doubt about it. offensive line, similar to what Rich Gannon said that I were talking about in segment number one, the offensive lineman, I would sign 1 to 2 offensive linemen in free agency. And remember, you have about $40 million in salary cap space. 1 to 2 offensive linemen, I don't care if it's a tackle, a guard, a couple versatile guys, whatever the case. Again, you may need a couple guards if you decide to move on from Andre James and put Dylan Parham at the center position. All of a sudden, you're opening up a hole at the guard position. If you decide to keep Parham at the left guard spot, maybe you attack the right tackle position. Maybe you go and bring in a free agent guard as well, or add some quality depth so at least in training camp they could battle it out and it'd be a real legit battle as opposed to what it was last training camp when all of us kept waiting for, well, when are they going to add offensive linemen? When are they going to add offensive linemen? Hey, man, when are they going to add offensive linemen? And it really never happened. That's what the Raiders need to make sure that they do, at least provide some healthy competition at the offensive line position coming up for training camp. And then finally, in free agency, I think that they need to go ahead and attack the linebacking core. And why I say that is because the draft is not very deep when it comes to linebackers. So I think if there's a linebacker that Patrick Graham sees and says, you know what, he fits in with what I want to do, I like him, I can get somewhere with him, this defense could go with him, and that doesn't even include re-signing Denzel Perryman. I can see them re-signing Perryman as far as depth goes. I don't think he's a priority, though. And the reason I don't think he's a priority is because of his injury history. And you saw him miss a handful of games in 2022. So I think that they like him. I think they love the energy that he brings. But they need someone that they, at least I feel like they need someone that they could really rely on to be there game in and game out in 2023. So as far as free agency goes, sign a veteran quarterback or trade for Lamar. Sign Jarrett Stidham for sure. Sign Josh Jacobs for sure. Add an offensive lineman or two, and add a linebacker. So now, how about the draft? They have about 11 picks as of right now. Of course, quarterback is still priority number one, even if a veteran quarterback is signed. Now, quarterback is not a priority if they trade for Lamar Jackson, but again, I don't think they trade for Lamar Jackson. So, in the draft, quarterback, with your first pick or later, whatever you feel is best. You know, if they decide that at number 7 or if they have to trade up to go get a quarterback, so be it. Whoever it is, any of the big four they feel comfortable with, so be it. Maybe they trade back later in the round 1 and they pick up a Hendon Hooker. Maybe that's the guy. I know that they like him. Maybe that's the guy that they go in. Either way the direction goes, I feel like they need to get a quarterback in the draft, especially if they just sign a veteran. If they have a veteran, Jarrett Stidham, and a rookie, I'd be good with that going into training camp. I know they have Chase Garbers. He could be there for now, but, you know, he could be a practice squad guy as well. So, you know, you bring in a veteran, Jarrett Stidham's re-signed, and you draft a rookie, I'd be good with that. Draft a defensive tackle. I mentioned that when we were talking about how to build the team or how to fix the team, according to Rich Gannon. He said get a edge rusher to pair with Max Crosby. Well, they need a defensive tackle that can go put in some work, right? They need a defensive tackle that can get to the quarterback. And there's some defensive tackles outside of Jalen Carter that can get to the quarterback in the draft. There's multiple guys, including the young man from Pitt, that's very Aaron Donald-like. He's not Aaron Donald, but he's very Aaron Donald-like. So I would have no problem with them going and attacking the defensive tackle position by way of the draft. I mentioned it the other day, a cornerback. Got to get a guy that can get his hands on the ball. They need to draft a quarterback. I don't think that it's going to make a whole lot of sense for them to go out and spend free agency money on a corner. I think that they need to go ahead and find a guy, and this is a deep draft on corners. So if you have a deep draft on corners, why not take advantage? I thought that they missed the boat a season ago when they passed on a couple guys that were available, like a Tariq Woolen, like a Kobe Bryant. They let both of those guys go. They turned out to be really good players. Both happened to play for the same team. Tariq Woolen went to Seattle, and Kobe Bryant went to Seattle. They both could have been players that could have been added to the Raiders roster, but they didn't go in that direction. That's fine. Don't get caught slipping again. Go get a cornerback in this year's draft while it's deep. Again, getting back to the edge rusher. Go get an edge rusher. Get someone who can not only compliment Max Crosby, but how about give Max Crosby a breather? Let Max Crosby get off the field every once in a while. A guy that they feel confident in, though, that can get after the quarterback, you know, maybe pair him up with Chandler Jones. Let Max Crosby take a few reps off. So in the end of the game, when you need a closer, you're seeing 98 come screaming off the edge and he's closing. Too many times in 2022, he wasn't able to close out games because he played the whole stinking game. He never had any time off. And he doesn't want to come off the field, but at some point you got to get him off the field just to get him rest, because at the end of the game, you need a guy, just like Khalil Mack was able to do many times in 2016 with the Raiders. He was able to close the door. He was able to seal the deal. When a big play needed to be made, He came screaming off the edge and made a play, either strip sack, sacked the quarterback, caused a fumble, did something, right, that was disruptive, and it just wrecked the game. Max Crosby could be a game wrecker, but he's got to have his wind. He's got to be there and got to be, he's got to be fresh at the end of the game to be able to do that. They need an edge rusher to complement Max. They also need an edge rusher to give him a few blows, like allow him to catch his breath and, be fresh at the end of the game. And finally, what I'd like to see the Raiders draft is a wide receiver who can stretch the field, someone who's got a whole lot of speed. Raider Izzy hit me up a while ago and was like, Q, they need to go after a wide receiver. And I thought, man, they're good on offense. They're straight. They got Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs. That's the last thing I'm concerned about is their offense. But, to his point, speed, 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 speed. They still need to add some speed. That's the one element of the offense that they don't really have. Devontae Adams finds ways to get behind defensive backs. I got to give him credit for that. That's fantastic route running. But speed kills. You can't teach speed. And if you got it, you got it. The Raiders need to get a little bit element of that speed on their offense. So as far as drafting guys, a quarterback at some point, defensive tackle, cornerback, edge rusher, and a wide receiver to stretch the field, and signing a free agency, a veteran quarterback, or trade for Lamar, definitely sign Jarrett Stidham, definitely sign Josh Jacobs, add some additions to the offensive line and linebacker. That's how you spend $40 million in salary cap space and use about 11 draft picks in the upcoming draft in late April. What is on your mind? 707-654-4693. That's the Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line. Your calls and texts are coming up in segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders Podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders Podcast. Your calls and texts are off that Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with Brother Dre in Atlanta. He's calling to talk about Lamar Jackson and the idea I floated out there on Wednesday's show about at least inquiring on what it would take to get him. Here he is, Brother Dre in the ATL.
What up, Q? It's Brother Dre in Atlanta, man. And today's my birthday, so I'm in a really good mood. But all along throughout the off season and everything, I've been on that tip where I'm figuring what we need to do is just put everything on the defensive side of the ball. Offense hasn't been a problem, blah, 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 right? However, the idea of getting Lamar Jackson now, and I don't have to give up any of my current offensive players to be able to do it. I got to give up 2 first-round picks. Hey, man, I don't even cuff, but that's a hell yeah, right? So that would change the future of this franchise. I mean, it would take us to the stratosphere, man. If that can happen, even if you had to give up, obviously you have to have a fully guaranteed contract or something with a lot of incentives built into it and make it work escrow wise. But man, I do that deal every day. You know what I mean? I'm not every day, every day. Do that deal, even if it costs me $200 million to get him, and do something like a 4-year deal or something like that, man. Just have to make that thing work because this is something that could change this franchise for forever, man. I can't imagine how we think about Patrick Mahomes and how dynamic he is and how people are afraid. You don't know what you're dealing with him, with the weapons they have. And this definitely would rival that as far as an offensive, as far as offensive firepower is concerned. So anyway, check you out later, man. Love the show. Appreciate all you do. Take care, man, and just win, baby.
Thank you, my man, for the call. I appreciate you. And that's my thing, man. The dude's dynamic. He'd make a hell of a team, or he'd make that team a hell of a team, right? He'd make them even better if the Raiders could acquire him. But, I'll be the first to admit it. I've said it multiple times, including on Wednesday. That most likely is not going to happen, right? I mean, just for multiple reasons, but especially when I passed along Adam Schefter's little nugget about, one guy out of the 30 years of free agency has signed that non-exclusive franchise tag, brought a contract back to his team, and that team didn't match that contract offer only one time. So that's most likely not going to happen, as I mentioned. But again, it doesn't hurt to go ahead and dip your toes in and at least see. And it's funny, I think it'd be awesome if a team, and I'm not even saying it has to be the Raiders, if a team were just to go ahead and say, you know what the hell with it? We're going to give you a big-time offer. We're going to throw it out there. Like Washington, I can see them doing it with Daniel Snyder, especially if he's on his way out. Just giving them a big-time offer, and then he takes it back to Baltimore, and they're like, well, we didn't think you were going to get this offer. Now what do we do? Call their bluff. Right? Call their bluff. I would love to see it and see what happens. But again, most likely that won't happen. But Brother Dre, thanks for the call. I do appreciate you. Next up, got a tweet from Central Ohio Raider. And he hit me up on Twitter at your boy Q254. He said, Q, listening to your show, the priority should be guard to replace Bars, like Reisner from Denver, who hates the Chiefs. Also Hargrave at defensive tackle, Illuminor at right tackle, Jacobs, Harmon, and Stiddy. I hope and pray Levis is there so I could trade down and draft Hooker and all D. So there you go. That's Central Ohio Raider. Those are his priorities right there for the Raiders in the offseason. It's what he should. It's what he's thinking that they should do. I know when I asked for priorities, I was only looking for three. He hit you with guard to replace Bars. That's one. Hargrave at defensive tackle. That's two. Illuminor at right tackle. That's three. Jacobs, Harmon, Stiddy. That's six. And I hope and pray Levis is there so I can trade down and draft Hooker. Basically, seven priorities when I asked for three. But hey, that's a way to be overachieving, I should say. So thank you, Central Ohio Raider. I do appreciate you. Next up, I got a call from Steve Wilby in Nashville. He's calling to talk about the Lamar Jackson situation and what he thinks it would come down to. And a lot of it has to do with the sideline. Here's Steve Wilby in Nashville.
What up, you? Steve Wilby here in Nashville. Want to call in and chat about the Lamar Jackson possibility. I know you're high on it. I am as well. But I really think it comes down to a couple things. And most of it has to deal with McDaniels. I know a caller commented the other day on the pod about, you know, the survey and how the players rank the coaching staff last. I think they need to pay attention to that as a coaching staff. I think that is going to translate into wins. I know the core players are probably cool with it, you know, the Devontaes and such, but I really think that if they go after Lamar, they give up two first-round picks, chat with Mark Davis, he's willing to give up all the guaranteed money, then I think McDaniels is going to kind of admit that he needs to let off the reins a little bit and let players play. I think we're going to find out down the road with the Derek Carr situation, that was probably a lot of the discord between those two, is that McDaniels wanted it done a certain way. Derek was calling audibles that, you know, weren't called. Maybe he didn't have that control on McDaniels' offense. You know, he didn't gain that until after year two with Gruden, that ability to do that. So as much as I want Lamar, I really think that McDaniels is like dead set on getting his guy, a rookie dude, who he can cast in his image and do it his way. I mean, I think that's why he came to the Raiders, to kind of get out of the shadow of Belichick and prove that he can do it with his guy, a young player. To get Lamar would be amazing, and I'm sure that the brass is pushing for that, but I think it's really going to come down to McDaniels if he's willing to just chill a little bit and let the players do their thing, which with that much star power on one side of the ball, I think you have to do that. It makes a lot of sense with all the draft picks that we have. I believe in, you know, Diamond Dave Ziegler more than McDaniels at this point, and we'll see what happens. But I just wanted your thoughts on that, and I think it really comes down to, like, we'll see what their direction really is and how tightly they're holding on to everything, you know, as far as the coaching staff and what McDaniels is willing to do if they go get Lamar or not. Thanks, man. Raider Nation, out.
Steve, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you. And yeah, I would love to see what a Josh McDaniels-led offense would look like with Lamar Jackson at the helm, especially with all the weapons that the Raiders have. Those would be the most weapons he's ever had in his NFL career. Think about that. He's never had a guy like Devontae Adams. He's had running backs, don't get me wrong. And, of course, he's a great runner as well. But, I mean, tight end, you know he could hit the tight end. You've seen him hit Mark Andrews. You've seen him hit all the tight ends that they've always had in Baltimore. Darren Waller is a whole nother beast. Right. And Darren Waller is obviously familiar with them just from being on the practice squad there in Baltimore. So he knows them. That would be nice. And then having a guy like Hunter Renfrow and Josh Jacobs to run the zone read with. Again, I don't see it happening, but man, it would be awesome. And then if that were to happen and all those players ended up in Las Vegas together, then it would be 100% on Josh McDaniels to, hey, you better figure it out, because all the weapons, everything you could ask for is right there in front of you. Now you have to go out there and get it done. And the other thing about it is, if the Raiders were to make the move and give up the two first-round picks for Lamar Jackson, they still have, you know, like 9 to 10 picks in this upcoming draft that they can address the defense. They can address other areas of the team. So it's not like if they just go make that move, then they're done. They have no draft. They have no free agency. No, they still have plenty of time and plenty of draft capital to go out and make some moves as well. So I'd be all right with that. Steve, thanks so much for the call. I do appreciate you. Next up, I got a text from Raider B in Connecticut. It says, hey, Q, it's Raider B from Connecticut. Listen to your podcast on the three priorities. Although quarterback is a big need, hearing the comps for these quarterbacks in the draft doesn't give me a lot of confidence. So my priority is cornerback, defensive tackle, and quarterback. The past 10 years, the Raiders couldn't cover anybody. I think better coverage can allow for Max and CJ to get home. A decent quarterback with the weapons that we have, I believe, could score enough points. Maybe even double dip and get a top 10 vet, too. Just my take. Really enjoyed the interview with Ziggy. Thanks for all the content. I'm looking forward to the next few weeks. That's all for now. Go Raiders. That's Raider B in Connecticut. And there you go. He flipped it around. Cornerback, D-tackle, and then quarterback, just because he's not 100% sold on the quarterbacks coming up in the draft. And now I see where you're coming from on that. And, yeah, man, a defensive line and the corners position, they all play hand in hand. If you have a strong pass rush, then you're going to have better corners. If you have better corners, you can have a strong pass rush. I mean, it kind of, like I said, they all play hand in hand. Defensive tackle, obviously, is a big priority as well. One more quick call. And then we'll wrap up today's show. Proto in Vancouver, he's calling to give his thoughts on what he thinks the Raiders should do at the quarterback position, what he thinks the best idea would be. Here he is, Proto in Vancouver.
Hey, yo, Q, what up? This is Proto calling back from Vancouver. First of all, I just wanted to say good news, everyone. Now that Carr has been signed, I think we should finally be able to just put that behind everyone, everything, and just not talk about it ever again and just move on to the issue of Raider football. Now, with that being said, I have listened to a ton of people on what the Raiders should do, yourself included. And honestly, I think the best bet would be for the Raiders to draft a rookie quarterback. If you look at the success of rookie quarterbacks, they really do well when they have really good weapons on the offensive side. And the Raiders have some of the best in the league right now. So I honestly think it would be a missed opportunity if we didn't sign a rookie quarterback to have him play under Devontae Adams, under Renfro, Josh Jacobs. For the next 3 years, honestly, that would be vital for building up the confidence of a rookie quarterback. And we have enough money to build a good defense around him and actually give him a good O-line. So I don't want the team to make the same mistake that we've done with Carr for so long. I think this is a good chance to draft a rookie quarterback, have him succeed, and go from there. That's what I think. Obviously, the Raiders are going to do what they're going to do, but for my money, I think that is the best bet. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.
Thanks for the call, my man. I appreciate you, and not a bad idea at all. You know, right now, number two on my list, I'm Team Lamar, Team C.J. Stroud, and then Team Jarrett Stidham. I mean, that's me, right? Lamar first, Stroud, and Jarrett Stidham. And the reason I say Lamar first is at least he's proven you know what he could do. He's 26. He's a former league MVP. You know what you're getting. You can go up and get C.J. Stroud. You can go up and get Bryce Young, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. None of them are proven that you know exactly what they're going to do on the NFL level. At least you have a good idea what you're going to get out of Lamar Jackson. But, yeah, Lamar, C.J., Jarrett Stidham, there you go. That's the three options that I have as far as the quarterback position goes. Let me go ahead and get one more text in and close out the show strong. No, it's going a little bit longer, but that's okay. Text from JV Raider in Georgia. So what up, Q? JV Raider from Georgia. I have something to get off my chest. If we chase a high-dollar, high-draft capital quarterback this offseason, essentially what we're doing is the exact same thing we've been doing for a decade. Swapping our quarterback who couldn't win with the bottom-ranked defense and trying the same thing with someone else is just ridiculous. If our goal is to sell tickets, cool. Let's just keep the cycle going. If our goal is to win games, we need dogs on defense that create momentum with turnovers, not guys that finish last in the league in turnovers and let Baker Mayfield go 98 yards with 2 minutes and no timeouts to beat us. I don't care who our quarterback is. We're not going to compete until we have addressed the defense. It's so obvious. Our best move, in my opinion, is to take Anthony Richardson at 7, if he's there, and build a defense around him. Your best chance to win is during a quarterback's rookie contract. If he's not there at 7, we go defense and let Stidham cook. Lastly, Derek Carr is now the best quarterback in his division with a top 10 defense. I can't wait to see how that turns out. We're going to look real dumb if he makes the playoffs next year and we don't. But, you know, as long as we sell tickets, it's cool, right? I'm done, man. Mark Davis, Dave Ziegler, Joshua Daniels, it's your move. Don't screw it up. Just win, baby. That's JV Raider out. Pretty frustrated JV Raider in Georgia. And that's the thing, man. That's what I was saying about Lamar Jackson. You're right. You know, it would be crazy not to address the defense. But if you do go and get Lamar Jackson, all you're trading is 2 first-round picks. That's one this year and one next year. Why can't you build up the defense if you do that? Like, that's my thing. You have, like, 10 more draft picks that you could build up the defense. You can go get a D-tackle, a cornerback, a linebacker, a safety, an edge rusher. You can go do that. You can address all defense. But you have to have a good trigger man. I'm okay with Stidham. I'm fine with Stroud. I like Stroud a lot. I mean, at some point, you got to get your quarterback of the future. I mean, what are you going to do? Just not anybody could compete with Mahomes and Herbert and Wilson twice a year. And then, oh, by the way, the rest of the quarterbacks in the AFC. So, no, it's not just about selling tickets. But, I mean, that has something to do with it as well. It's packing the stadium with your fans. And Lamar Jackson would be highlight material. Lamar Jackson would be must-watch TV with, you know, the rest of the weapons that are around. So, I mean, and the other example, as much as I'm a defensive guy and I love defense, we just saw one of the best defenses that the league has seen in a very long time in the Philadelphia Eagles give up 38 points to the Kansas City Chiefs and lose the Super Bowl. Now, their defense, to their credit, only gave up 31 points or allowed 31 points because Jalen Hurts gifted the Chiefs 7 points. But you get my point. As good as that defense was, they had 70 sacks, 70 on the regular season. They were fantastic. They still allowed 31 points to Patrick Mahomes. So at some point, you do need a gunslinger. You need somebody who can go get it done, whether with his legs, his arm, or both, like Lamar Jackson. Or, you know, get a young dude like C.J. Stroud. To go get a Stroud, you're going to have to trade up. So you're giving up some draft capital there. You might be giving up more draft capital going to get a young guy like a C.J. Stroud than you actually are going after Lamar Jackson. So as frustrated as I hear you being, I get it. But at the same time, if you can have, you know, basically your cake and eat it too, a big-time quarterback that gives yourself a chance to compete with anyone in the league and also could build up the defense, why not take a shot at it? I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm just saying that why not at least take a shot at it? It's March 8th, right? March 9th, actually. So right now it's early, right? You got plenty of time. The free agency is not till next week, and then the draft is until late April. There's plenty of time to kick the tires and at least see what's out there available to your liking. Maybe you rather have Jimmy G. I don't know. But anyway, great text, great passion. Definitely appreciate you. I just think there's a few elements that maybe you should think about and realize that the team could really be built up quick, fast, and hurry this offseason. But that's all I got time for. Really running overtime. So I apologize to Ari at Ari Producers on Twitter. I know he doesn't like it when we go super long, and that's only because the powers that be get on him for allowing me to go super long. But as he knows, it's hard to control what I do. So there's that. But Raider Nation, appreciate you as always. Thanks so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raider podcast free and available on all platforms. Till tomorrow's show, we'll close out the week really strong. We'll have more calls and texts throughout that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. We'll have plenty of news and notes. And of course, we'll have a lot more conversation about the silver and black. We'll do it on tomorrow's show. We'll close out the week. Till then, Raider Nation, take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Love on your family. Most importantly, as always, just win, baby.